Welcome to the Sacred City Life Podcast. This is your host, Pastor Justin Dean. And this podcast is all about helping you follow Jesus in the everyday normal rhythms of life. I got two gentlemen on the podcast with me today. Guys, would you introduce yourselves?
This is Kevin Kenora, biblical counselor.
Alex Tate, Sacred City Youth Director.
All right. Well, welcome back to the podcast. We do thank everyone for the engagement, the likes, the shares, the questions that you email us. Man, it really provides us with a lot of content moving forward, and so we're really thankful for that. You can always send your questions to Justin Dean at sacredcitychurch.com, and we will do our best to answer all of these questions. But today, we want to talk about something that's going on in the culture right now that many people are probably aware of. There was a ruling by the Alabama Supreme Court in regards to IVF and the children that are being either discarded, dropped, et cetera, et cetera. And the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that these embryos are in, that they have the right to life, and that necessitates the protection of that life. So they have certain rights. These are human beings, and they have certain rights. Now, that is a constitutional case that's right in line with their state constitution. They believe that life begins at conception, just like every Christian believes that life begins at conception, and therefore those children have certain rights. Now, we're not going to go into IVF today that much. We are going to do a podcast next week with a couple in our church who have used IVF, and they're aware of some of the dangers involved, but also some of the blessings with this advance in technology that we've got. So we're going to talk about some of those concerns next week. But what I want to talk about today, the title of this podcast is going to be something like, We're All Christian Nationalists Now. All right? And here's what I mean. When the terms Christian nationalist, you know, those two words were put together, they first came to the forefront of our cultural imagination recently with the January 6th, whatever you want to call that, right? We saw people storming the Capitol, and all of these people were called Christian nationalists. And obviously it was a disparaging term. It was meant to make them look like religious fanatics who wanted to violently overthrow our democracy, mm-hmm. right? And we would, you know, we would say, whoa, that's not us. Like, what? I don't know what that is, but that's not us, right? And so there was this specific, you know, concept of what Christian nationalism was that I think January 6th and 7th and following that, most of us would say, I don't really know what's going on there, but it looked violent. It looked bad news. It looked like, you know, it looked like something that maybe wasn't Christian, right?
A riot.
a riot, an insurrection. Mm-hmm. Those were words that were thrown around. And now we come to find out there was a whole lot more involved in that most of us knew. But the point of that term and that term, those terms put together, was to push a group of people into the crazy sector, right? Like, if you can label somebody as crazy, if you can label somebody's views as aberrant or outside the normal, you can kind of put them in a crazy camp and then write them off.
Yep.
Right? And that's how the term was being used. Now, Stephen Wolfe has written this book called The Case for Christian Nationalism. I've just finished it. And it is a towering work. It is full of reformational theology. It's full of what I would say is mainline Orthodox Protestant Christian teaching.
Yeah.
From the Reformation to the founding of our country, a little bit after it. And it's 400 something pages, and it's dense. It's there's not much in it I disagree with. I'm I think he makes a compelling case that America had a Protestant Christian heritage, and we're not going to get into that too much. But we've talked a little bit about what is Christian nationalism. We've done a few podcasts on it. We've been slow to speak on a lot of it because I wanted to get through that book, which I think it's being touted as the best argument for Christian nationalism. And he's using those two terms, and he's basically saying, if you want America to be a Christian nation, if you want it to have Christian laws and you want to have Christian rulers, you know, civil magistrates that are guided by, let's just say, the Ten Commandments, then you're going to be called a Christian nationalist. And that is Christian nationalism. Yeah. But what I've been witnessing in the wider culture is, first off, a complete ignorance when it comes to the historical, you know, foundations of our country, the legal foundations, the moral foundations, the governmental foundations. People seem to be completely ignorant of what the founding fathers were doing and the worldview they had when they were writing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
It seems to be like the modern person thinks that they were just inventing those rights, or they were coming out of just the Enlightenment, and they weren't deeply rooted in Protestant, yeah, Orthodox Christian doctrine,
mm-hmm,
right? And because of this ruling in Alabama, it's got the wider media, whatever they, you could call it, the mainstream media, it's got them in an uproar, and they're going crazy. And there was this journalist, Heidi Prisbola, and I think is her name, and she was on MSNBC. And I just want to play a clip of what she said in this interview so that you can hear the words from her own mouth.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm, is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Okay. I hope you hear what she just said there. First off, she wanted to make a clear distinction between Christian nationalists, scare quotes around them, because those are definitely scary people, mm-hmm, and Christians. She says the difference between Christian nationalists and Christians are that Christian nationalists believe that our rights come from God. They don't come from courts. They don't come from governments. They don't come from people. They come from God. All right? Now, this is why I wanted to title the podcast, We're All Christian Nationalists Now. Because this is historic Christian belief.
Yeah.
And this is why in the founding of our country, you know, the Thomas Jefferson, who was not, you know, this staunch Christian,
yeah,
right? Thomas Jefferson wrote, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights," right? Mm-hmm. Certain inalienable rights. Where do those rights come from? Those rights come from God, because, yeah, we're made in the image of God. We have the right to life,
right?
Right? And the way they, you know, the founders put it, and the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, this is just normal stuff. This is just basic Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But in her mind, and in the, and this is what's being pushed in our nation right now, this idea has been pushed over into the Christian nationalist only camp, that we actually believe that our rights come from God and not the state, right? Mm. Now, what is the state's job? The state's job is to recognize those inalienable rights and legislate accordingly, that God has given us these rights. They come from him alone as our creator.
Yep.
And so their job is to recognize those law or those rights, which means God, as our creator, he has constructed the world in such a way that he has instituted laws himself. He has instituted rights himself.
Yeah.
So we didn't invent the law of gravity. We discovered the law of gravity. We didn't invent, you know, human rights.
Yeah.
We discovered human rights through God's revelation, his natural revelation, which is the natural world that we can study it, and his supernatural revelation or special revelation, which is scripture.
Yeah.
Now, almost all of our founders knew this. Even the ones that weren't church-going people, they knew that God is our creator and that our rights come from him. And now our modern-day rulers are the people that are running social media, the people that are running corporations, the people that are running big business, the people that are running big media.
Mm-hmm.
All of these people seem to be completely ignorant of basic Christian truths. And now they're conflating what we thought Christian nationalists were, these bad guys way off on the right, you know, storming the Capitol and wanting to do, you know, whatever we thought, potentially heinous things or destroying democracy or destroying this or destroying that. Now they've pulled those two things together where if you are a Christian, you are a Christian nationalist.
Mm.
And this was part of Stephen Wolfe's point in his book is it's all an op. It's all psychological warfare. It's all propaganda. This has been their game plan from day one to get Christianity out of the public square.
Yep.
Mm. Right? And Francis Schaeffer famously said that he taught us that if the state is the highest authority, then the state is God.
Yep.
Mm.
But Christians have always thought that the state is subservient to God. God is over the state. And so rights come from God.
Yeah.
Right? Even the right to rule comes from God.
Yeah.
And the state must be under God. And I don't even know if she understands the danger in her own position.
Mm.
That if rights come from the state, if rights come from Congress, if rights come from, you know, Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when they get it wrong?
Mm.
What happens when they deem a certain segment of the population without rights?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this was Hitler's argument.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hitler's argument was there is no God and the state is God and we deem who has rights and who doesn't have rights.
So their agenda is to put Christians in the Christian nationalism era so that like they can disregard everything that we ever say or anything that we ever believe.
That's one reason. And also so that they could they could silence us.
Mm-hmm.
They can, I think that they want to separate us. They want to separate Christians.
Yeah.
Right? Christians who are politically motivated, you know, they're politically active from the everyday normal Christian.
Mm.
That's what they're trying to do. So they want to scare us with this term Christian nationalist. And now it's like, do you believe human rights come from God? Well, then maybe you're a Christian nationalist.
Mm.
Now, what I'm hoping it does is it does the exact opposite. And now we start to not care 2 cents what they think of us.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't care what they say about us. Jesus said specifically, they will hate you because of me.
And they can call us whatever they want, but at the same time, we're standing 10 toes on God's word. And that's what and how we're going to live our lives out on a regular basis. So I think that's...
Well, and if you think about the playbook throughout history, you mentioned Hitler, but without fail, it has been a society doesn't like a certain culture, if you want to call it that, Christian nationalism in this case. And so then they find a way to lump a whole section of the population in under this umbrella term. And then, oh, hey, by the way, this is a hate group, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we're headed. Hey, if you think that your rights come from God, you are hateful, mm-hmm. right? And then what happens then? Well, then, guys, that's when we hit persecution stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and when it comes to, so this is, if you're pro-life, you're a Christian nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
If you're anti-abortion, you're a Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
If you believe, okay, so here's a great example. God gives us the institution of marriage.
Yep.
One man, one woman, from all of time, right? Have there been aberrations? Yes, mainly polygamy, and that was condemned by the church, by Christians, Jesus, you know, by the, you know, the Bible. And Jesus said, from the beginning, God made them male and female,
mm-hmm.
right? One man, one woman, lifelong union. That's the definition of marriage.
Yeah.
And because God, our rights come from God, marriage has certain rights,
wow. right?
Marriage has certain rights. And a society that is Christian and a society that is in line with God's revealed will and yeah. his, so natural revelation and supernatural revelation, okay? Natural revelation, marriage between one man and one woman produces children.
Mm.
Those households are good for society.
Mm-hmm.
The government has a vested interest in incentivizing lifelong union between a man and a woman and procreation of children, because if we don't reproduce, every woman, if she doesn't reproduce, they say like at 2.1, mm-hmm. have 2.1 children,
yep. mm-hmm.
then the society begins to go into decline,
mm-hmm.
right? Your birth rate is in decline. And what happens when your birth rate is in decline, if you have more people aging out of the workforce than you have entering into the workforce, it becomes top heavy and the young people can't afford yeah. to pay for the taking care of the older folks,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the signs of a degrading and a society that's slipping into destruction, right? And so a state or nation has the natural right or natural inclination to give marriage certain incentives that it doesn't give up single people and it doesn't give other, you know, forms of union or forms of, you know, relationship, because the family is uniquely good for society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Children need a man and a woman to be properly raised
yeah.
and to come out moral, ethical, and good. So just like if we're not procreating, then we don't have a future. Our country doesn't have a future. Yep. If those children aren't growing up moral, virtuous, and good, then you don't have a future either.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the future leaders, and they're going to be the future business owners, and they're going to be the future workers, and they're going to be morally corrupt, and then you're going to get a failed state.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So these are just two examples. There's all kinds of...
Yeah.
You could talk about mental health, and, you know, because same deal. Child raised by a mother and a father, that's they're going to have better mental health,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be happier. They're going to have all these different things, okay? Now, you don't have to know the Bible to know those things. You can know these things through God's natural revelation.
Yeah.
Just studying sociology, studying civilizations, that if you have good families and you're raising them in a moral way, it's going to be better for wider society.
Right.
So the state puts certain incentives on marriage. For yep. us, we get tax write-offs for kids,
yep.
right? The more kids, the more tax write-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the state wants us to have kids,
yep.
right? And so there's different, so we get certain privileges because we're in this lifelong union with our spouse, right? And we're raising kids. Well, we tend to believe that rights come from, and when I say we, I mean our wider culture right now,
yeah.
that rights come from the state.
Mm.
And that we're all equal, and that we all should get every benefit that the state should bestows on people. Mm. So the statement would be, well, I am single. Why shouldn't I get some of these privileges? Why shouldn't I get some tax incentives? Mm. Why shouldn't I? Well, because you're not married and you don't have children. And that's why.
Mm.
A single person doesn't provide the same benefit to the state as a couple does, okay? Mm. As a family does. So that's it, right?
Yeah.
Now, but we want equal for everybody, and right? We want equal for everybody, and it doesn't work that way,
right?
The state has a vested interest in giving certain rights to marriage that it doesn't to single people, that it doesn't to polygamists, that it shouldn't to homosexuals, right? On and on and down the line we go. And I bring this up because with the Obergefell decision in 2015, our Supreme Court invented a man-made right and said, what natural revelation says is good for the we'll just call it nuclear family, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give that same right to homosexuals. Well, here's the problem. Two men, that's just two individuals. That's just two single men together. They can't have children.
Right.
Right? And two women, they can't have children. Now, we've gotten certain technological advancements that, again, they still can't have children, but they can get surrogates, basically a rent-a-womb, you know? It's human trafficking is what that basically is. But we think, doesn't everybody have a right to love? That's not what we're talking about. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about rights that have been given from God that are meant to be affirmed by the state, right? And homosexual couples, the state has no vested interest in incentivizing homosexual couples.
Mm.
Now, why did we do it? We did it because that's what the cultural zeitgeist of our day demanded. That's what the people wanted. They wanted to see it and the Supreme Court wanted to make it happen. But you can't just invent rights. Our Constitution was written, hundreds of years ago, and we have never recognized that right in history.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
it's just scary because it just seems like they're only pushing policies and they're pushing how we can move numbers. And they're almost making everything a blanket statement and taking God out of it, so that if you look at a lot of the things that you're talking about with the older folks, right, and being retired and the younger taking care of them, sooner or later with the prices of things going up, it's just impossible. So if they make policies, a blanket policy for everybody, then it helps take care of those people, but it does take God out of it, which is really sad.
Yeah. No, why do they do that? Because most politicians, they're not strong enough to rule for the good.
Mm.
Because, like, we're in a bad state. We're in a bad state. Our national debt, our spending, our inflation, we're printing money. We're incentivizing wars.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a bad state right now, and most people don't know it. And because Biden will say things like, "Our unemployment rate is doing great," and I was reading a book this week, written by David Bonson, and it's called Full Time, and it's about work.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how, so the unemployment rate is those who are looking for a job, or those who are employed, or those looking for a job.
Right.
The unemployment rate doesn't include those who are out of the workforce who aren't looking for a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's in the numbers.
He said this, and the numbers are 16% of the male working age population right now are not employed.
Yeah.
And it's something like 16 to 62 or something like that. Those are the numbers. And 16%. Now you're like, is that bad? It's worse than during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? It's worse than in the Great Depression. And like, that's when you hear something like that, you're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm saying. most of our politicians can't do the hard, good thing and thinking about future generations, because it means you're going to have to take away some supposed rights that people have right now. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take away some benefits that people are going to, that are getting from the government. The government can't keep spending money the way they spend money. Now, here's the problem. Every time the government creates a new department, a new organization, once you give them money, it becomes almost impossible to take it away.
Yeah. Mm.
And those people are never going to vote for it, because they'd be voting for them to not have a job.
Right.
And so as the state gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you get more people on the government's money, and they're going to vote for whoever's going to keep that money flowing to them. And the people in power need the votes, so they're not going to tick off their constituents for our grandkids.
Right.
They're not going to do the right thing for our grandkids.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, this is a major, like the left, the Democratic Party, this is them, but this is also the Republican Party.
Mm.
This is both parties.
Yes.
The Republicans of today are the liberals from 30, 40 years ago.
Mm.
Right? So no one is actually doing their job as a Christian would in accordance with Scripture.
Yeah.
Right? And the liberals are going 100 miles an hour over a cliff, and the supposed conservatives, the Republican Party, have dropped it down to 60.
Yeah.
And they're going 60 miles an hour over the cliff.
Wow.
Well, here's the deal. You're just pushing the cliff. You know, you're going to be three minutes later to the cliff.
Right.
The Democrats are off the cliff, and you're just going to be 3 minutes behind them.
Right.
So we've got, there needs to be a change.
Yeah.
We've got to make some significant changes. And I say that because we need to not care what the culture thinks about us.
Yeah.
We need to look at Scripture. I mean, right now, these mainstream journalists are saying, if you believe rights come from God, you're a Christian nationalist.
Mm.
Right?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, we're all Christian nationalists now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were studying it and trying to be nuanced, and are we Christian nationalists? Are we not? You know, like, and it's like, well, if you believe rights come from God, you're a Christian nationalist. Then I'm like, all right, then give me the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Then give me the T-shirt.
That's funny.
And maybe there's some crazy people on our right. Right?
So for a lot of people, are like, well, I don't want to be called anything but a Christian. So should we be, like, pushing away from this? Because sooner or later, they can call us something else and call us something else and call us something else. So what
I think
we do
on
there?
That's a good question. And I think on an original podcast, I said something like, do you believe our country should be more influenced by Christianity? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to live in a Christian nation? Do you believe it's God's will for us as Christians to live in a Christian nation? If you say yes, then we're a Christian nationalist.
Yep.
Right? Do you believe the Ten Commandments, you know, should be in the courtroom? Do you believe the Ten Commandments is the basis of all human law? Right? Then we're a Christian nationalist.
Mm.
Right? If you believe that if we elect Christian, you know, governors and senators and House of Representatives, that they should govern in line of God's revealed word, God's revealed word to us,
mm-hmm.
natural revelation and special revelation, then you're a Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like the bad guys, the bad guys have made this easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
So just embrace it. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean we're, you know, whatever it's called, you know, that we believe in theocracy? Well, theocracy is a rule by religious authorities. No, we don't believe in a theocracy, right? Mm. Do we believe in ecclesiocracy, that the church should be over the state? No, we don't believe in that, right?
Mm.
We believe that our rulers, our civil magistrates, our president all the way down should be Christian men leading with Christian convictions, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want to see happen. Now, we know we can't force that to happen. It's got to come in a lot of ways. Well, it's probably come simultaneously from the bottom up. We've got to be making more disciples.
Yeah.
We've got to be people that are bold and say, yes, I want a Christian nation. Of course I want a Christian nation.
Right.
I mean, this is, go read the Mayflower Compact. That's why they came over here. They were making a covenant with God to create a Christian civilization, right? Yeah. Yes, I want a Christian civilization because that's where humans flourish. We believe our rights come from God, right? And there's maximum freedom in that situation. So yes, that's what I want. And we need to be bold with it. And then praying that God would call some strong Christians into the civil magistrate, ruling cities, ruling states, in Congress, and all the way up, right? And then when we get a chance to elect a Christian, the term that he uses in the case for Christian nationalism is the Christian prince. That's a historical name, just the Christian prince. Not that we have kings and princes, you know, all that, but it's just a genuinely Christian magistrate. Now, we know we don't have any Christian prince on the ballot coming up in November, right, for presidency. But we do have a person who is protecting Christians and doing things in a more Christian way. I get, you know, Supreme Court justices, more pro-life, et cetera, et cetera. Is he ideal? Absolutely not. Is he a Christian prince? Absolutely not. But then we have another guy who is, he wants to take it from 100 to 150 miles an hour off the cliff, promoting trans surgeries, the LGBTQ plus agenda all the way down, completely in crazy town, right?
So if Christians start receiving this title as a Christian nationalist, what if they start putting other people in that same title and underneath that have nothing to do with God? What do we say to that?
Well, they will. But so you can't necessarily police your ranks, right? You join a football team, you can't control who the wide receiver is. He might be an idiot. He might be a complete loser. He might be whatever, right? But you're on the same team, okay? And you know you're on the same team because you have to run. You have to listen to the coach. You got to run the same plays. You got the same enemies, right? The other team, you got to crush them. And to say, fine, I'm a Christian nationalist because I'm a Christian that wants a Christian country for my kids to grow up in. And I believe it's the true religion. And so I want laws and culture to make it easier for people to come to faith. I want to make it easier for people to go to church on Sundays, to hear the gospel, to be saved, right? We can't legislate Christian belief in the sense of the gospel, how to be saved, because that you need freedom for that to happen. You can't force a person into that. But we can legislate Christian morality, because all laws legislate somebody's version of morality. And if it's not God's, then it's the state's, which is imperfect at best, and sometimes absolutely immoral, right? So we can't be ashamed. And we can say, yeah, that guy's crazy, but not let that discourage us from saying, yes, I want a Christian nation, and yes, I want Christianity to succeed in America.
Yeah, that's good.
It's the same way with the church. Like, we got no control who comes to our church.
Right.
They might be completely, you know, they might be crazy people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They might do all kind of dumb stuff. They might be terrible businessmen.
Right.
And we don't have any control over that. Right? Now, if they're living in abject, you know, rebellion against God, then the elders would have a conversation with them. And obviously, if there were members, they could be excommunicated.
Yeah.
But we can't control who comes to our church, right? So you can't control who they put in that camp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just thought this, I couldn't believe that she used this language. You know, this is like those on the left that push Martin Luther King Jr., they like think he's like, you know, a god. And yet he taught the same thing. He Martin Luther King Jr. today would be called a Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
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 Thomas Jefferson, Christian nationalist. Mm-hmm. John Adams, Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
George Washington, Christian nationalist.
Yeah.
You could go straight down the line. They're all Christian nationalists now.
Mm.
And so if you believe these basic Christian truths, then we're all Christian nationalists.
Mm. Yep.
Right? So, yeah. So I think this is their play, the playbook that they've been planning to run all along.
Mm. Yep.
And we just need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
We need to be aware of it. So, any other thoughts or questions?
No, that's a good word.
All right, well, oh, so, in light of this ruling in Alabama, now they're, you know, they're saying if you want to protect life, if you believe human life happens at conception, that's not a Christian teaching. That's a Christian nationalist teaching.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Right? So, basically, every time Christians want to, and first off, the reality that life begins at conception, that when conception happens, a human person is there.
Yep.
Not potential human being, a human being is there. That is a basic Christian teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if our rights come from God, then that human person has a right. We could put it in our own language to life, liberty, and happiness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So these, man, I think they're just trying to scare us away from basic Christian beliefs and make uninformed Christians believe that these are somehow aberrant beliefs. Mm-hmm. Or fringe beliefs, or radical beliefs, right?
Mm.
In order to keep people voting
mm-hmm.
Democratic, or to keep people away from Christianity.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this is, it's not just a religious teaching. Natural law teaches this as well.
Mm.
If life doesn't begin at conception, then when does it begin?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 12 weeks of pregnancy, 6 weeks of pregnancy. It has nothing to do with location. It's in the womb. It's not in the womb. Right? Location. How could location determine personhood? And we'll probably get into this because I am seeing the most...
What do you mean by location?
Okay.
In the womb, out of the womb.
Yeah. So if it's IVF... it's in a petri dish,
mm-hmm.
right? The embryo is in a petri dish.
Yep.
If it's in a mother's womb,
yeah.
it's inside her body.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So some people want to say life doesn't begin until the baby takes its first breath, mm-hmm. okay, outside of the womb. Christians are the most consistent,
yeah.
logically, rationally, with life. It begins at conception.
Mm-hmm.
So that embryo is a human person, even if it's in a petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
Petri dish. Now, obviously, it needs to be implanted into a mother's womb in order to grow to full term. But that is a person. That mm-hmm. is a soul, and that is a person made in the image of God
yeah.
in that petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Same thing when it's in a woman's body. It doesn't matter if she's, she's been pregnant for a day. That's a human person in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... we want to protect human persons.
Yes.
In the dish and in the womb.
Everywhere. Because yep. they have natural rights that come from God. Mm-hmm. A human person is different than an animal.
Yep.
It's different than other forms of life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
People, I'm seeing, you wouldn't believe on college campuses how dumb people are today.
Mm-hmm.
You say, life begins at conception. And they say, well, what about the sperm? It's alive. And what about a piece of grass? It's alive. Doesn't it have rights?
Mm.
And it's not about life. It's about personhood.
Mm-hmm.
A person is different than a piece of grass.
Right.
A sperm is alive, yes. But it is not a person.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
our culture just doesn't understand this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they know, they perceive themselves to be a person, and a woman mm-hmm. perceives herself to be a person. She knows that she's a person. She has rights. And she thinks she has a right to another person in her womb. That child that's been conceived.
Yeah.
That one person has a right to kill another person.
Well, wow.
What?
Yeah.
And an innocent person. They didn't choose to be conceived.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 point whatever percent of the time, you chose to have sex that resulted in procreation, resulted in the creation of new life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Christians are saying human beings have rights all the way down, and I'll say to the Petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this ruling, this IVF ruling in Alabama was about, is this couple, I think they were a Christian couple, chose to do IVF and had these embryos, and someone had an accident in the lab and destroyed the embryos. Mm. And the parents sued them and said, "You destroyed our children."
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court said, yep, they did.
Mm.
Not because they're religious fanatics, because they're logically consistent. And their constitution already says life begins at conception.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And liberals are going crazy now, you know, making us look like crazy Christian nationalists because we actually have a coherent, consistent position that life begins at conception.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're a normal Christian, you're a Christian nationalist. Yeah. Sorry.
So what do you say to the Christians that are like, I don't want to be in this fight. Like, I just feel like whatever's happening over here, you let them have it, and me and Jesus are going to be over here.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first I would say, I don't want to be in this fight either.
Mm-hmm.
And the wise wizard Gandalf...
Let's go.
would tell us that, you know, all men wish such things,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, we're not the storyteller. Like, great battles come to us,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to us to either be a coward or be courageous.
Mm, let's go.
So, I don't want this fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this wasn't a fight 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? This fight came to us because women wanted the right to kill their children
mm-hmm.
in order so they could go to work, so they could have sex with as many people as possible without having the threat of getting pregnant, to take them out of the workforce, to take them out of college, to damage their good life, what they wanted for their life, right? And these women, and the Supreme Court invented a right in Roe versus Wade,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that they had a right to kill their children. And guess what? That's been overturned.
Mm-hmm.
That was heinous policy. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in the Constitution about it. It was men trying to invent a right. And here's the deal. If men can invent a right, then they can erase a right.
Right. Yeah. If they can persuade you in, they can persuade you out.
And that's exactly what happened with Dobbs. Mm-hmm. Boom. So now women do not have a right. Now, it just pushed it down to the states. And so now it's in the state constitution. And we should want the abolition of all abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We should want an abolition of all abortion. Of course, when I say that, I don't mean, you know, ectopic pregnancies and things that would, you know, could threaten the life of the mother. I don't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
But we should want abolition of all. Of all abortion. So I just want to be over here. Well, listen, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You're stepping away from a fight that God's called you to live in, to step up into and to push back darkness. And for you to step back because you don't want to be a culture warrior or you don't want to be hated by your relatives or you don't want to be looked down upon by wider society, that is to do your children a great disservice.
Yeah.
Because if we don't fight, then they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
If Christians don't stand up and fight, then they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And we will be giving our children a worse country than we were given.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And so we've got to rise to the battle. You know,
yeah.
The greatest generation, they rose to the the occasion. They didn't want Hitler to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to go overseas and fight what they perceived as somebody else's war, Europe's war. They didn't want to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Hitler came. Hitler rose to power. Hitler invaded. Hitler did these things. And if great men from our country didn't go over there and stop it, we'd be speaking German.
Right.
They would have came for us next.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's the battle's on our front doorstep. The question is, will you be courageous or will you be a coward?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the key part about that is if you're not going to be courageous and move forward and stand 10 toes on God's word, like, I think it's really sad because you're training your kids not to do the same thing. So we want to raise our like, you know, we want to step into the, have that Holy Spirit to be bold and have courage in those tough moments. But then also that shows our kids like, oh, if dad and mom's doing this, like, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Hopefully that edified you guys and maybe it sparked some conversation or some questions. So if you have any questions, please email me, justindean@sacredcitychurch.com. I would love to go deeper into this, answer any questions you guys have. I want you to know we don't do this because we love to hear ourselves talk. We do this because you guys have got questions, and we want to disciple you. We want to teach you to obey all that Jesus has commanded. That's part of the Great Commission. And so this podcast furthers the mission of extending the Great Commission to all people, nations, tribes around the world. So we love you guys. We're praying for you. God bless.